Right now, though, let's begin our conversations with our broadcast partners because it's so essential for us to get the details behind the headlines that these men bring to the table. First one out is Ken Timmerman. He's in the Washington, D.C. area. Ken, let me talk to you about Russia. They are warning Israel and the West, i.e. the European Union and America, against any attack on Iran. It's said that this could result in a bad situation. I'm sure he must be talking about this issue there in Russia, the foreign minister, because of the fact of the new Israeli government trying to come into place. They're putting a coalition together, Prime Minister Netanyahu seemingly winning. But the Russians are saying, hey, watch yourself here now. But at the same time, it looks like they're pulling their people out of Syria. Talk to me about this.
Well, you're right. They're pulling their people out of Syria, which shows a lack of confidence in the future of the Assad regime. At the same time, they're trying to reinforce or double down, if you wish, their support for the Iranian regime. The Iranians have just finished an inconclusive session, 2 days talks with officials from the International Atomic Energy Agency, who went to Tehran earlier this week, came back with nothing at all in their hands. They had claimed that they were going, hoping to seal a deal with the Iranians to at least suspend part of their uranium enrichment programs, but got no progress on that whatsoever. So the Russians are now turning around and saying, don't get any ideas in your head about striking Iran, because it would lead to confusion. Now, it's not clear. There's not a there's not an either-or here. They're not saying don't do it or else, and then spelling out the or else. They're just saying don't do it because it could lead to bad things. I think this is an empty threat from the Russians. They are simply reasserting their support for the Iranian regime, but not really saying, making any specific threat.
Well, and what's also interesting to me, at the same time, the Russians have moved their naval forces, at least a portion of them, in the largest post-Soviet era military exercises or naval exercises there in the waters off the coast of Syria. And at that same time, Bashar Assad making a statement, even if you destroy Damascus, I'm going to still win. Talk to me about the complexities of the Russian-Syrian situation.
Well, it's interesting to see this develop. The Russians have been moving into the warm seas for decades. They have been, one of the reasons they backed the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, which they did covertly, was to gain access to the warm seas. It's been something that they've been that has been underway since the time of the Tsars. But more recently, they made progress, and they have a naval base, a naval facility in Tartus on the Mediterranean in Syria. And these naval exercises that you mentioned are going to be taking place off the coast of Tartus. The Russians have not historically had a significant naval presence in the Mediterranean. So to see them beef up that base in Tartus, to see them actually conduct military exercises in the Mediterranean is, I think, a sign that Russia is flexing its muscles under Vladimir Putin. They're trying to tell the West, this is no longer the Mare Nostrum, this is no longer your sea that you control, but we have a stake in it as well. They are not going to be actively confronting the U.S. military, as far as I can tell, but they are just trying to assert, hey, we're there. We're not going to let things get spin out of control completely in Syria, and when push comes to shove, we will get our citizens out of the country. They could have tens of thousands of people in Syria. That evacuation that they've started now, Jimmy, has just been on a very small scale, but this could escalate very rapidly. And my guess is they're positioning those forces to be able to accelerate the evacuation of Russian civilians.
So again, it doesn't look too well for Syria because of the fact that even the Russians are hesitating as to whether they should stand still with the Bashar Assad regime. But let's focus on Africa just a moment. This last week, we've seen unbelievable terroristic activities there in Algeria. They went after a natural gas facility. Many people killed, a lot of them foreigners. And Al-Qaeda now making the threat that there's going to be more attacks in Algeria. Looks like to me that the Islamic radicals are moving across the world and becoming very active in what they're trying to do as they endeavor to take over this world.
Well, you know, what I find very interesting about this, Jimmy, is how long this has been percolating, how long it's been developing. You know, I spent a lot of time overseas, as you know, and my sources in various European intelligence agencies have been looking at North Africa for at least 4 years. They've been looking at the situation in Mali. They've been looking at the situation in the desert of Mauritania. They've been looking at the development of a drug route from Nicaragua and from Hugo Chavez's Venezuela and Cuba into Mauritania, into the deserts of North Africa, and then up into Europe. And this has been facilitated by al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda agents, if you wish, in the governments of these countries. Algeria and Mali are not, you know, all that far apart across the desert. This also took place. The particular gas facility that was attacked is right across the border from Libya, and it's a deserted area. I mean, there's really, it is the desert, and there's not much around. It's easy for al-Qaeda to move around in those areas. They've been implanted for years. And I suspect that they're going to launch more attacks like this if they have the forces to do so.
Well, you know, what concerns me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, we just had the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, be questioned by the United States Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. I think she made a mockery of this questioning, by the way. Want to know what your thoughts are. But at the same time, it was focusing on the Benghazi attack on our embassy and the killing of four of the U.S. personnel there. Is there any connection between what's going on in Mali and Algeria as it relates to Benghazi and because of the weakness, supposedly, of the United States?
Well, again, it is al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which is that entire region. So it is a loosely affiliated organization that was involved in all of these attacks. You know, you mentioned Hillary Clinton's testimony in the Senate and the House. It really was an extraordinary command performance on her part of contempt of those who were questioning her. When one senator, Ron Johnson, had the gall, if you wish, to ask her, well, was this attack in Benghazi because of a protest over a movie that nobody saw about Islam, or was this an organized terrorist attack? She pounded her fist on the table, you know, with mock indignation, and said, you know, what difference does it make? What difference does it make what actually led to the attack? I listened to that sequence, Jimmy, a couple of times, and it was just so extraordinary. What difference does it make how they died? They're dead, and now let's move on and see what we can do to make sure it doesn't happen again. I mean, it really twisted logic to say what difference does it make. It makes every difference in the world to know whether the Obama administration ignored a threat from al-Qaeda in Benghazi and essentially walked away from its responsibilities to protect our citizens, or whether this attack took them completely by surprise. They had no warning whatsoever. It makes every difference in the world, and Hillary cannot just sweep that under the table.
I ask you this, Ken. Do you think we're going to get to the bottom of what did really take place in Benghazi and hold those responsible for it responsible and make them have to pay ever?
I don't. And I think Senator Rand Paul put his finger on it very clearly. He said, you know, Madam Secretary, with all due respect, if I had been President of the United States when this happened, I would have fired you. I would have relieved you of your duty, was the term he used. He said, I can understand that you wouldn't read a cable from your embassy in Vienna, Austria, saying that requesting $100,000 to put in an electric charging station. I can understand you might have been too busy to read that. I can understand you might not have read a cable from you know, the embassy in India saying they wanted $100,000 to bring three comedians to India to give comic skits. But I don't understand that you would not be reading the cables from Benghazi, which she said she had not read. And he said, because of that, if I had been President of the United States, I would have relieved you of your duties. Well, Hillary has not been relieved of her duties. She has resigned at the time that she had always said she would, right after the inauguration of Obama for his second term. By all appearances, she's going to prepare a presidential run for 2016. And she claimed that the accountability review done by the State Department found nobody above the level of a third-rank bureaucrat who might have been responsible for anything in Benghazi. It absolutely is mind-boggling. And unless the Senate and the House of Representatives persist against the media and against the protests of innocence of the Democrats, no, we will never get to the bottom of this.
Well, we're going to keep talking about it and try to keep it in focus for the American people to want to get some answers. And because this does have a political significance with what's happening in that area of the world as well as the future. Ken Timmerman from Washington, D.C., the man who covers geopolitical activities for us. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you, Jimmy.